We begin the book by Moses continuing the story from the book of Exodus. He says, "Now the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying," if you remember in the book of Exodus, God spoke out of the fire, out of the mountain and fire. Now God's speaking in the tabernacle where men comes to meet God. And of course, God's call to men is always in holiness and consecration. You'll see that here in a moment. He says, "Speak to the children of Israel and say unto them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herds, of the flocks." Now, when he uses that word to bring, it means to come willingly, with a total commitment to God. I'm bringing to God not my cast-offs, but my best. It seems that many times when people are coming to God, we're always kind of giving to God anything that is a cast-off, something that I already possess and have used, and it's kind of like a leftover, or maybe I have two items instead of the one, and I'll give one to God. And it's like the farmer that had actually had two cows, and when one of the cows died, he said, "The Lord's cow just died." But, you know, that's kind of like the attitude that people have when it comes to the things of the Lord. And yet God desires that when we come to Him, we give Him the best of ourselves. This is why in the New Testament, when God speaks to us, not in the tabernacle, but He speaks to us, where? In our hearts. Why? Because our body now has become the tabernacle of God. You see? In 1 Corinthians 3:16 says what? He says, "Don't you know that you are the temple of the living God? And if any man defile the temple of God, God himself shall destroy him." God dwells within us and He speaks to us. And so whenever I come to God and I'm giving my life to Him, He wants me to give Him everything, the best of everything that I possess within my life. I give to Him my whole body, not part of my body, but my whole body. You'll see here in a moment. Notice in verse 3. "If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it in his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord." Notice that the people were not allowed to go into the tabernacle. The tabernacle had only one door. The priest would come, meet the people at the door of the tabernacle, which were actually surrounded by curtains. And as soon as you would pass the gate or the door to the tabernacle, there would be the washing basin where the priest would wash himself. And then next to it, over the, on the side of it, there would be the barbecue pit. And then you would go into the inner place of the holiest of holies. And then there was a curtain. And then inside 15 cubits by 15 cubits would be the holiest of holies where God dwelt, and the Ark of the Covenant was inside. And inside of the Ark of the Covenant, on top of it, on top of the lid, there were two cherubims facing each other with the wings. And no one was allowed to go into the holiest of holies only once a year on the day of Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement, and it was only the priest. And when he would go inside into the holiest of holies, he would actually have these pomegranate bells underneath his garment. They were ringing. And they would tie a rope to his right ankle. And when he would go in outside, they were actually holding onto the rope. And if that priest would have any kind of a sin, immediately God would kill him, and nobody was allowed to go in. So with the rope, they would pull him out of the holiest of holies. Because God is a holy God. God cannot accept sin. You see? This is why God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to make atonement for you and me. In the Old Testament, they used to make atonement through what? Through lambs, turtle doves, and sheep, and goats. And you'll be able to see this right now. The first sacrifice that God speaks about in the book of Leviticus, there are five. The first one deals with my consecration of my life to God. What is that? The burnt offering. The burnt offering to God. It's a sacrifice of consecration. Separation of my life to the Lord. And when I come to the Lord and consecrate my life, it's not because my parents or my husband or my wife are making me be consecrated. It's a willing consecration. You come on your own. You come to God and say, Lord, here are my hands, here are my feet, here are my eyes, my eye, here are my ears, here is my brain. I give you my whole body for you to consecrate. This is where Paul the Apostle in Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2 says what? I therefore, my brethren, beg you by the mercies of God that you would present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. You see? And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your minds. This is what God desires from each believer in their own lives. Consecration of my life to the Lord completely. But the sacrifice also speaks of the person of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of consecration. And it's neat because notice what he says here concerning the sacrifice. He says, then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and they will be accepted as on his behalf to make atonement for him. What does that mean? Well, let me give you the picture. Let's say we bring in a turtle dove. Excuse me, we'll bring in a goat. And I come to the tabernacle and I'm at the door of the tabernacle and say, hey, you know, I'm bringing this and I'm giving it to the Lord. The first thing the priest would do, he would take the goat or the lamb or the turtle dove. The turtle dove was always, in the pigeon, was always the sacrifice of the poor. When Mary and Joseph brought their sacrifice to the temple, they brought the sacrifice of the poor, a pigeon or a turtle dove. Mostly the rich would actually sacrifice the lambs and the goats, but not so with the poor. They would bring the pigeon or the turtle dove and they would give it to the Lord. But before my sacrifice could be given to God, it would have to be examined. I would have to look for any blemishes. Remember in the book of John's Gospel when Jesus was going down to the temple, and when he got to the temple, Jesus became kind of upset and he took a whip and he started whipping people out of the temple court. And he started turning over the tables. The reason he did that is because the people that were coming to bring their sacrifices to the priest, the high priest Annas and Caiaphas at that time had a business going with those table changers. And so what they were doing is when I would bring my turtle dove or my pigeon or my lamb or my goat, the priest would examine it and he would say, oh, we can't accept it. It has a blemish or a spot. And so what you have to do, if you want to get right with God, you have to buy one of our turtle doves or one of our pigeons or one of our lambs or one of our goats. You know what they would do? They would charge the people 40% grade interest. That's why Jesus was upset. Why? Because these people were making a merchandise of religion. They were ripping the people off. And there's a lot of ministries like that today that are constantly ripping the people off. They don't give them anything in return, but they always want to receive. That's why it says it's more blessed to be giving than to be receiving. Why? Because it's sacrificially when I give to God. When I give to God my body, my life, it's my life of consecration to Him. And then the laying of hands on top of the head of the animal was a picture of what? Of the transferring of my sins into the animal. You see? And when the animal was killed, it was bled. And they would lay the lamb down and the blood would actually be pouring out into a basin. And then the priest would take the blood and he would go into the mercy seat and he would pour the whole blood on the mercy seat, and that would be an atonement. That would make me at one with God. You see? As I would go into the temple. And so we see the beautiful picture here of the transferring of my sins into the animal. But in the New Testament, what? Jesus Christ took your sins, my sins. He became the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You see, everything is a type and a shadow and a picture of things to come in the book of Hebrews. It's right with the book of Leviticus when you read it. Then he goes on and he says this, verse 5. And then he shall kill the bull, and before the Lord he'll do it. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around the altar that is the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And he shall skin the burnt offering and cut it into little pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire on the altar, and they shall lay the wood in order of the fire. And then the priests and Aaron's sons shall lay the parts of the head, the fat, in order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. And the fire here is a symbol or a type of God's holiness. And you're not going to believe, but you know what the best part of the sacrifice God loved? The fat. The sweet, sweet aroma smelling in the fire when the fat would burn up, it would actually ascend to heaven. This is the pleasing to God. This is the sacrifices they would give to God. Verse 9. But he shall wash its entrails and the legs with water, and the priest shall burn all of the altar of a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, as a sweet aroma unto the Lord. It is well pleasing to God. But again, not part of the sacrifice. When you speak of the sacrifice of consecration, it's the whole deal, not part of it. The whole deal belongs to God. That's why God wants all of our bodies, all of our minds, our eyes, our hands, our feet, every part of me, God desires to consecrate it as I give my life to Him. And so we see it here in the Old Testament. And then in verse 10, he says, and if his offering is of the flocks and the sheep, of the goats and the burnt sacrifice, he shall bring a male without blemish. Why? Because it typifies, the sheep typifies the self-surrender, Jesus Christ, as Christ surrendered himself to the cross. He willingly submitted to the Father to die on the cross. He shall kill it on the north side of the altar before the Lord, and the priest and Aaron's sons shall sprinkle its blood all around the altar, and he shall cut it into little pieces, and with the head and with the fat of the priest shall lay on them in order to the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash the entrails, the legs, and the water, kind of repetitious, and then the priest shall bring it all and burn the altar and the burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma unto the Lord. Now, notice that everything that he's saying here is to show you how hard it was in the Old Testament to worship God, and how God is a God of order. You see, there's no confusion here. Everything is to be done decently and in order when you come to God. Not only a God of order, but listen, He is a holy God. When I come to God and I am consecrated to God, why? Because no one could actually sacrifice to God unless your life was consecrated to God. No heathen could come to the tabernacle. Only those that had given their lives to God and actually were consecrated to God could bring those sacrifices to God. Why? Because sin was a problem. And sin has always been a problem. In the Old Testament, the only way to get rid of sin is to kill an animal and then bleed it and then give the blood and sprinkle the mercy seat. And the word there is that it uses in the Old Testament from the Hebrew for atonement is kofar. And kofar means it's a covering. For example, if I take something and I hide it behind my Bible and I cover it, you can't see it, but it's here. Where in the New Testament, the word atonement makes you at one man with God, which means God takes your sin and He casts it as far as to the east or the west and remembers it no more. It's no longer there. Totally forgiven and forgotten. That's how God works. So these are types and shadows of things to come in the future. And then verse 14 he says, and if the burnt offered or the burnt sacrifice of his offering to the Lord is a birds, he shall bring his offering and turtle doves and young pigeons, which was the sacrifice of the poor people. The priest shall bring it to the altar, wings, he says, ring it off its neck, and then burn it on the altar. Its blood shall be drained out on the side of the altar, and he shall remove its crop with his feathers and cast it beside the altar on the east side into the place for ashes, and then he shall split it in its wings and shall not divide it completely, and the priest shall burn it on the altar and the wood that is on the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire and a sweet aroma unto the Lord. And then sacrifice number 2, chapter 2, the grain offering or the meal offering, literally. This sacrifice deals with the giving of my life to God for pure enjoyment, fellowship. I love it. Pure fellowship with the Lord. And this sacrifice can be seen in actually John chapter 6, verse 34, where Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus is our bread, the bread of life, the one that we not only feed upon, you see. And here in the Old Testament, he says again, when anyone offers a meal offering or a grain offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour. Notice that. Why? Flour here typifies the purity of life, scripturally. The purity of life. And then he says this, and he shall pour oil on it. And the oil typifies what? The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Notice, my life anointed by God through the power of the Holy Spirit. With oil and all the frankincense. And the frankincense here was one of the gifts that was brought to Jesus, which spoke of his burial, which was actually a perfume, a fragrance that is given to God. He says, and then the priest shall burn it on the memorial, on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma unto the Lord. And the rest of the grain offering or meal offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. Notice God made provision for the priest, where the priest didn't have a job. Their job was to serve the Lord, and God provided to the people for the priest and all their needs. And then it is most holy offering of the offerings to the Lord made by fire. And then he said, and if you bring as an offering a grain offering baked in the oven, it shall be with unleavened cakes, fine flour mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil. But if your offering is a grain offering, bake it in a pan, and it shall be fine flour unleavened with oil. And he goes through this whole thing again of repetition. Verse 11. No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made of leaven, for you shall burn no leaven or any honey in offering to the Lord made by fire. Why? Why no leaven and why no honey? Well, first of all, leaven is a type of sin. You see, in the New Testament we have that. When he speaks about honey, it's because why? Honey, it has not its natural sweetness. God wants everything to be natural when we give to him. Nothing that is created by us, but when we come to him, we come in purity of heart in our giving to God completely. And when we come to God, we don't come in sin, but we come in repentance and confession of our sins as we stand in the presence of God. As for the offering of the first fruits, you shall offer them to the Lord, and they shall not be burned on the altar as a sweet aroma. Verse 13, and every offering of your grain offering you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. Why? Because salt in scripture is always a preservative. You see? Remember Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. We are to be a preservative to the world. In those days, they didn't have any refrigeration. So what do? No refrigeration, no ice. So they would take salt when they would kill their sacrifice, and they would salt the meat, deeply salty, so that it would not spoil. It would preserve it, you see? And so everything that we see is a picture and a type of things to come. And then again, In verse 14, if you offer the grain offering of your first fruit to the Lord, you shall offer with the grain offerings and your first fruit green heads, green roasted with the fire, grain beaten for the full head. And then verse 16, and the priest shall burn the memorial portion, part of a beaten grain, part of its oil, with a frankincense and an offering made by fire to the Lord. And then chapter 3, the third offering. When his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. Notice God wants the best again, without any blemish, without any spots. He doesn't want second hand, he wants first place within our lives. This third sacrifice speaks of my communion or fellowship with God as I come into the presence of God. The other one spoke, chapter 2, verse 1, I spoke of what? Of giving of my life to God in pure enjoyment with God. This one is the fellowship sacrifice to God, where I commune with God and He communes with me. I do it out of pure fellowship with the Lord because I love Him. It also speaks of Jesus Christ becoming my peace, Romans 5:1, where Jesus Christ becomes my peace. Without Him, I have no peace. Without Him, I have no fellowship. The importance in coming and having fellowship with the Lord as we partake together. Remember the Jews, whenever they would eat, whenever you would eat with a Jew, you would become one with that person. They didn't use forks or knives or spoons, they used their hands. And they use pita bread to clean themselves. And the reason is because eating with another person made you one with that person. And that's what fellowship does with God. When we enter in communion with God, we become one with Him. As we break the bread, as we take the cup and we drink it and eat it, we become one with Jesus Christ too. So we see the fellowship sacrifice here. Then he says in verse 2, and he shall lay his hands on the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and Aaron's sons and the priests shall sprinkle the blood all around the altar. And then he shall offer from the sacrifice of peace offering, an offering made by fire to the Lord. And the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, notice the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, and the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver, he says, above the kidneys he shall remove, and an Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is on the wood that is on the fire, as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Notice, God is pleased with the best. God desires everything that is the best to Him. And then of his sacrifice, or verse 6, if he offering as a sacrifice, a peace offering to the Lord of the flock, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. And he kind of repeats himself with this whole thing. Verse 8, and he shall lay hands on the head of the offering and kill it before the tabernacle of meeting. And then Aaron's sons shall sprinkle the blood all around the altar. Notice the sprinkling of the blood, the making of the atonement to become one for sin. Verse 16, and the priest shall burn them on the altar for food, an offering made by fire, a sweet offering made by fire aroma, and all the fat is of the Lord's. And this shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations and all your dwellings. You shall eat neither fat nor blood. Notice that. Now the reason that God doesn't want you to partake of any blood is because what? There is life in the blood. It was a forbidden thing. Among the heathens, they drink blood. You know, in Mexico, when they used to have bullfights, they would kill the bull. And when I was a kid, I remember this. My father used to sometimes go to the bullfights. And I was just about 5 or 6 years old. And they used to take the bull and kill it. And the blood would be warm. And they would actually drain it into a glass. And the guys would drink it. That's a hell thing. They turn into vampires at night. I'm scared. But who knows how good that may be. God forbids it. No drinking of blood. Notice again, verse chapter 4 now, the fourth sacrifice here. Now, in chapters 4 and 5, we're now coming to the non-sweet Savior offerings. And these speak of Christ's work on the cross of Jesus Christ when He died on the cross. Now, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel saying, if a person sins unintentionally, what do you mean? If you sin by ignorance, okay? If you sin by ignorance, anything or any commandment of the Lord in anything which ought not to be done, and does any of them, if the anointed priest sins, bring his guilt on the people, then let him offer to the Lord for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bull without blemish as a sin offering. Now in chapter 4, he's going to deal with the priest first of all, verse 3, and his sin. Then in verse 13, he deals with the congregation's sin. And then in verse 22, he deals with the leader's sin. And then in verse 27, he deals with the common people's sin. Notice four people are here in chapter 4. The priest and his sin. Verse 13, the congregation and their sin. In verse 22, the leader's sin. And then in verse 27, the common people that have sinned against God. And then they make their sacrifice and they give unto God. Verse 28. You know, that's pretty cool, because that's why we're moving ahead. You want to read it, huh? Read it, man. Laborious reading, but it's good. Okay, so I'll read for you guys. Verse 28. And if his sin which he has sinned comes into his knowledge, then he shall bring it on his offering, a kid of goats, a female, without blemish for his sin which he has sinned. And he shall lay his hands on the head of the sin offering and kill the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. And then the priest shall take some of its blood with his fingers and put on the horns of the altar the burnt offering and pour its remaining blood on the base of the altar. He shall remove all its fat, as the fat is removed from the sacrifice of the peace offering. And the priest shall burn it on the altar for a sweet aroma unto the Lord. And so the priest shall make atonement for himself, and it shall be forgiven him. Notice that. Can you imagine the ordeal? Imagine if you today, if we were living according to Leviticus, every time you sin, you would have to bring a lamb. And then it would have to be killed. It would have to be drained of its blood, cut into pieces, then barbecued, and then sprinkle the blood in the mercy seat, and then you would be forgiven. That's why in John, 1 John 1:9, it says, if we sin, what does it say? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us for all our sins. Jesus Christ. He has become our sacrifice to forgive us for anything and whatever we've done against the Lord. So here he speaks about this whole thing of sin. And then in chapter 5, he now speaks of the trespass offering. And this now is literally speaking of that sin that literally is the defilement of different parts of my body. For example, first of all, he starts with the defilement of the mouth. When you sin with your mouth, notice what he says. If a person sins in hearing the utterance of an oath or a curse, and is a witness whether he has seen or known of a matter, and if he does not tell it, he bears guilt. That is, if you have been a witness to something that is of sin and you do not confess it or you keep it to yourself, you become just as guilty as the other person. It makes you guilty before the law of God. Notice that. He holds you accountable. And then check this out. Or, if a person touches anything unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, let's say you're walking along and you're coming down to the temple and you pick up a dead bird, you already not become unclean until sundown. You would have to go through the proper washings and bathings and all these things that the people would have to go through. Whenever a leopard man would come by, let's say that a leopard's walking down the street and he's a leopard and he sees people approaching him at 300 feet upwind, downwind, he would have to say, unclean coming through, so that everybody would move away. Why? Because if I was walking by and I would graze the leopard, then I would become unclean to God and I would have to be unclean and give a sacrifice of uncleanness of my life, and I would be unclean for the whole day until sundown. Imagine what people had to go through in the Old Testament. Why? Because God is a holy God. He was trying to teach people about his holiness, the importance of atonement, the importance of separation, the importance of being right with God. Otherwise, you know, how can a man approach God without holiness? We can't. This is why, even in the Old Testament, going back into the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through chapter 7, 1. Remember, Paul says, "Be you not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever, for what fellowship has light with darkness?" That all comes from Leviticus. Because God is speaking about how can something that is holy, how then can something that is unclean ever approach God? And the only reason that you and I can approach God is because of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we could never come to God. That's why Jesus Christ had to come. And he had to die for your sins and he had to die for my sins. And this is why in the Old Testament you had the priest not only making the sacrifices, but the people had to come and they had to give their sacrifice to the priest. Because the priest stood, what? For the people to God. And then God would speak to the priest and the priest would speak to the people. He was the intercessor between God and men until Jesus Christ came and he became our high priest. You see? He became our high priest to do the work that had to be done. Then again in verse 2, if you touch an unclean carcass of a clean beast, then he says this, the carcass of unclean livestock or a carcass of unclean creeping things, and it's hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Or let's say that he touches a human uncleanness, whatever sort of uncleanness it will be, which a man may be defiled. And it is hidden from him. When he realizes it, then he shall be guilty. And or if a person swears and speaking thoughtlessly with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatever it is that a man pronounces by an oath, and it is hidden from him, when he realizes it, then he shall be guilty in any, you know, in any of these matters. So what is he talking about? About making a promise and not keeping your promise. That's a sin. You would have to make up for that. So this whole thing of promises made here, he talks about that. And it shall be when he is guilty in any of these matters that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. Notice that. Whenever you sin, God expected you to do what? To make confession of your sin. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us for all our sins. Verse 6, the fifth sin, the fifth sacrifice. And this one is the sacrifice of a trespass, or that is willfully sinning against God. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord. For his sin, which he has sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats of the sin offering, so the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his sin. Notice that. Here he's now talking about this putting away of sin and the forgiveness that comes through the atonement that is made for my sins. And of course, there is no atonement without the shedding of blood. This is why they would bleed the sheep or the goat or the lamb, and they would actually kill the animal. And if he is not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring to the Lord for his trespass which he has committed 2 turtle doves, 2 young pigeons, one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering. And he shall bring them to the priest, who shall offer that which for the sin offering first and wring off its head from its neck, but shall not divide it completely. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood in the sin offering on the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be drained out in the base of the altar as a sin offering. You see, the Jews had 613 laws. They took the Ten Commandments and they made 613 laws. And it's amazing when you, that's why Jesus got so mad at the Pharisees and the scribes, because they were so confused. They became really patty about all of the laws that God had given to them. When he only gave them 10 words, they made 613 of this, you know, commandments. We would call the Mishnah in the Hebrew. And God, what he does here is he's actually trying to bring him to a place of repentance. Sharing with them that religion doesn't get it. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. when you come to Him, that He only accepts us. Otherwise, He can't really accept me. Unless I come in humility and I come willingly to the Lord and I admit and I confess that I have sinned against God, then my confession becomes as a sweet aroma to the Lord in my sacrifice to God. When I come to Him, He accepts me just as I am because I have repented of my sin. But in the process of these offerings and sacrifices, it took forever for these people. But yet this is what God wanted. In verse 14, the sin of ignorance again. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if a person commits a trespass, a sin unintentionally, in regard to the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring it to the Lord in his trespass offering, a ram without blemish from the flocks, and your valuation in shekels of silver according to the shekel in the sanctuary as a trespass offering. He shall make restitution for the harm that he has done in regard to the holy thing, and he shall add one fifth of it and give it to the priest. In this sin of ignorance, when you would come to the Lord because of the sin that you had committed, to make up for it, you would have to actually pay 20% interest to God financially. You would give to the priest. Watch verse 17. He said, and then he would make atonement for him with the ram and trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. But if a person sins and commits any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he does not know it, yet he is guilty and shall bear his own iniquity. Notice that here. Moral disobedience now, as God deals here in the tabernacle concerning these sacrifices. And he shall bring to the priest a ram without blemish from the flocks, with your valuation, a trespass offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him regarding his ignorance, in which he erred from and did not know it, and it shall be forgiven him. And it is a trespass offering. He shall certainly trespass against the Lord. So any sin is always against God. Whenever we sin, it's against God. Whether it be of ignorance or willingly or willfully, it's against the Lord. And it needs immediate repentance before the Lord. Then in chapter 6, he continues personal deceitfulness. Here he talks about here. And then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, notice here, deliberate lying. If a person sins and commits a trespass against the Lord by lying to his neighbor about what he has delivered to him for the safekeeping, or about a pledge, or about a robbery, or if he has extorted from his neighbor, or if he has found what was lost and lies concerning it. You know, I found it, but I'm not giving it back to him. Did you find it? Nope. And you have it? You're in trouble with God. Notice this. Or if he has found what he has lost and lies concerning it and swears falsely, and if any one of these things that a man may do in which he sins, then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty. Notice again here. Making the wrong right now. That he shall restore what he has stolen, or the things which he has deceitfully obtained, or what he delivered to him in safekeeping, or the last thing which he found, or all about which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore its full value, and he shall pay. So God says, make things right. If you lied, if you cheated, you need to give it back. But on top of that, you pay 20% interest to that person that you stole from, or you ripped off. If you want to make it right with God, you got to do this, he says, in the Old Testament. And then again, and he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord, a ram without blemish of the flock, in your valuation, a trespass offering to the priest. And so it's kind of repetitious. Verse 8. Then the law of burnt offering again. Now he's going to go over these offerings again. Then he said, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron, not for the priest, and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. What was that? The consecration of my life to God. Notice what he says. The burnt offering shall be on the earth, on the hearth offering shall be earth upon the altar all night long until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And then the priest shall put on it linen garments. And the linen garment speaks of what? Of righteousness. We are righteousness by what? We are righteous by Jesus Christ. not by our own righteousness, but through his righteousness, we become righteous. And then the linen trousers he shall put on his body and take up the ashes of the burnt offering, which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar, and then he shall take of his garments and put on his outer garments and carry the ashes outside of the camp as a clean place. Did you know that Jesus Christ was crucified outside of the city walls of Jerusalem? Notice that here, the taking of the ashes were to be taken outside of the city and to be buried in the proper place from the sacrifice. Check this out. And then the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it, and it shall not be put out. And the priest shall lay on the burnt offering the order of it, and he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offering. A perpetual fire shall burn on the altar, and it shall never, ever go out. Why? Because the burnt offering is not only that sacrifice or commitment of my life of consecration to life, but that has to be done in daily life. It's not once and for all. It's every day I consecrate my life to God, abiding in him every day. Whatever I did today will not count for tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, you know, maybe I lived a good day today and I was really fully unto the Lord, but tomorrow morning starts a brand new day and my relationship with God has to start brand new, afresh. Every day, God wants us to be afresh with him. He doesn't want us to become old in our relationship with him. But when we come to him, we come with a desire and a willingness to love him and to praise him and to worship him. And whatever he asks of me, I can't say no, but I willingly and hilariously give unto the Lord the best that I possess in my life. That's what God desires from each one of us. Otherwise, how can we be committed to the Lord if we don't have that consecrated life to God? And this is what the priests had to go through in the people of God. And then again in verse 14, the peace offering or the grain offering. How I can have peace with God in my life. This is the law of the grain offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it on the altar before the Lord. He shall take it from it, his handful, and the fine flour of the grain offering, which is the oil, and all the frankincense that is on the grain offering, and shall burn it on the altar as a sweet aroma and a memorial before the Lord. And the remainder of it, Aaron and his sons shall eat it with the unleavened bread. It shall be eaten in the holy place in the court of the tabernacle of meeting, and they shall eat it. And it shall not be baked with leaven. I have given it to them as their portion in my offerings made by fire. Notice, it is most holy, like the sin offering and the trespass offering. Why? Because God is a God of holiness, and he desires a holy people. All males among the children of Aaron may eat it. It shall be a statute forever in your generation concerning the offering made by fire to the Lord. Everyone who touches them must be holy. No one can come to God while they live a life of sin. Sin breaks our communion, our fellowship with the Lord. That's what he's teaching here. We cannot continue to live in a life of sin. But every day we have to make our lives brand new before the Lord as we come into his presence. And so he deals with this whole thing here. Verse 24, the law of the sin offering now. He says, now speak to Aaron, to his sons again, saying, the law of the sin offering in the place where the burnt offering is killed, the sin offering shall be killed before the Lord. It is most holy unto the Lord. And then again, the priest who offered the sin shall eat it. In the holy place it shall be eaten in the court of the tabernacle of meeting. Notice where they were to eat it, in the house of the Lord. Why? Because it was holy. Everyone who touches it, the flesh, must be holy. And when its blood is sprinkled on any garment, you shall wash it, that on which it was sprinkled, a holy place. But the earthen vessels in which you boil it shall be broken. And if it boil in the bronze pot, it shall be both scorched and it shall, notice, be rinsed with water. Why? The water is a symbol of the washing by the water of the, which is what? The word of God, you see? And then the earthen vessel here It's speaking of what? That we have to be clean, earthen vessels. Why? Because we are the temple of the living God now, you see. God can't dwell on dirty temples. We have to be clean. Just like in the Old Testament when they were going through the cleansing rites. Verse 29. And then all the males among the priests may eat it. It is most holy. But no sin offering from which any blood is brought into the tabernacle of meeting to make atonement, because it's a holy place, shall be eaten, and it shall be burnt with the fire. And then chapter 7. Likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering before the most holy God. In its place, it shall be killed. The burnt offering shall be killed, the trespass offering. And it is the blood that he sprinkled all around the altar. And he shall offer it, all the fat of the tail, the fat that covers the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, by the flanks and the fatty lobe attached to the liver, above the kidneys he shall remove. Can you imagine how intrigued it must have been to take the animal apart and separate all its parts? Because God was a God of detail. A God of detail. God knows every part of your body as he knows every one of your needs. And we see God's personal touch and how much God cares for you and for me as we give ourselves to him. And in the Old Testament, as they made provision, not only for God in sacrificing, but God made provision for them. Then verse 11, notice. And then the law of the sacrifice of the peace offering which he shall offer to the Lord, it shall be offered as a thanksgiving. He shall offer with sacrifice thanksgiving on leavened cakes mixed with oil, on leavened wafers anointed with oil, cakes of fine blended flour mixed with oil. Besides the cakes as hin offerings, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving and the peace offerings. And from then on he shall offer one cake from each offering as a heave offering to the Lord. The heave offerings were actually, they would lift them to the Lord and they would wave them back and forth unto the Lord as a sacrifice to God of my sacrifice unto you, Lord, in worship. And then watch this, verse 15. And then the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day it is offered, and he shall not leave any on it until the morning. That is the sacrifice of thanksgiving unto God, being thankful for everything that God has done. Everything that I give to God is his. And then he makes provision for me. And then the voluntary offering, verse 16, but if the sacrifice of his offering is a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day, and he shall offer his sacrifice, but on the next day the remainder of it also may be eaten. The remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day must be burned in the fire, and if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering is eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, nor it shall be imputed to him. Whoever offers it shall be an abomination to the person who eats it. Of it shall be guilty. The flesh that touches anything unclean thing shall not be eaten, and it shall be burned with fire. And notice, as for the clean flesh, all who are clean may eat of it. But the person who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to the Lord, while he is unclean, check this out, that person shall be cut off from his people. Did you hear what he says? If anyone would come to God and would be living a life of sin, and they would partake of the sacrifice, they would be instantly put to death. Let me turn for 1 second to 2 Corinthians. Let me read it to you what he says. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Listen. He says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Satan? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God had said this. And notice, now in the New Testament, he's quoting from where? From the Old Testament again. He's going back there to quote. Listen to what he says. I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord God, and do not touch what is unclean. And then I will receive you. Did you get that?
He's quoting from Numbers 33, 56, 50, 51, 56, and again Isaiah 52 from the Old Testament. Clean and unclean. Then he said this, "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And check this out, chapter 7, verse 1. "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit." And check this out, "perfecting holiness in the fear of God." That's what the book of Leviticus is about. Perfecting holiness unto God. God wants you, God wants me to be totally separate to the Lord. A child of God cannot live a life of sin and still expect God to bless him. You can't. With the scriptures in the New Testament, what he says about not non-believers, but about Christians that are living in sexual sin, and they're drinkers, and they're in drugs, and they're continuing to do the things that they were doing before they came to Christ. This is what Paul said. Hey, he says, but now you have been sanctified, you've been justified, and now he says, you used to be like this, but no longer are you like this. Why? Because God has touched your life. God has changed us. And yet it seems that people don't get it today. That in order for us to come to God, God wants us to have clean hands, and a clean heart. And the only way that I can see that we can do that, as in the book of Leviticus, is when we come and we consecrate our lives to the Lord by faith. We stand before the Lord. Remember I told you when they took the blood and they put their thumb in the blood and they put it upon the right ear, upon the right toe, and the right thumb? It was a sign of my consecration of my body to the Lord. When I would place the blood upon my right ear, I would be consecrating my ears to hear what God would say to me. When I would put the blood upon my right toe, it would be my consecration of my feet to walk in the Spirit and to walk in the ways of God. And when I would consecrate my thumb or my hands, it would be the consecration of my hands to do the work of God with holy hands. God desires that you and I would be holy. "Be you holy," God says, "for I am a holy God." No man can come to God apart from holiness. Listen to what Hebrews 12:14 says. Real quickly here. Listen to what he says. "Pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will ever see the Lord." Hear what he said? No one will ever see God unless you're consecrated to God. Unless you're living a life of separation to God. There's no possible way. And as these people had to go through all these sacrifices and the cleansing and the purifying and the killing and the draining of the blood, and the sprinkling of the blood, and the separation of the parts. And then they would finally bring the sacrifice and place it on the altar, and it would be consumed barbecue meat unto the Lord, and that sweet aroma unto God would go before the Lord. Now God is asking us to present our whole bodies as a living sacrifice, not dead. You see, in the Old Testament, they were dead sacrifices. In the New Testament, God desires that you would present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's what God desires. And the only way to do that is to be fully committed to the Lord. Fully committed to Him completely. Watch verse 35 of chapter 7. "This is the consecrated portion for Aaron and his sons from the offering made by fire to the Lord on the day when Moses presented them to be ministers to the Lord as priests. The Lord commanded this to be given to them by the children of Israel on the day that he anointed them by the statutes forever throughout their generations." Notice, it's not just once. It's from generation to generation. Why? Because we are now priests of the Lord. You see, you and I are priests. We have been consecrated by God.
And we have a duty as father and mothers to pass it on to our children from generation to generation, that they must consecrate their lives to the Lord. That's what God desires, as God had commanded in the Old Testament. Watch this, what else he says. Verse 37. This is the law of the burnt offering. What's that? Consecration. And the meal offering, and the sin offering, and the trespass offering, the consecrations, and the sacrifices of the peace offering, which the Lord commanded Moses on Mount Sinai on the day when he commanded the children of Israel to offer their offerings to the Lord, notice, in the wilderness of Sinai. You see? They're getting ready to move from Mount Sinai across the wilderness. But God says before you start moving, you have to be consecrated to God. Before you can begin to walk the walk, you have to consecrate your life to the Lord. Father, we come before you this evening, Lord, to thank you so much for your love, for your grace, for your mercies. And Lord, as we deal next week with chapters 8 through 10 on, Father, the consecration of the priesthood. And Father, when Aaron's sons were struck dead because they were a little bit tipsy, Father, we pray that you would teach us in Leviticus, Father, that by the time we finish this book, Father, we would not only understand sacrifices, that we would understand the main sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ, which died for our sins to cleanse us and wash us from the filthiness of the flesh and sin, Lord. Father, we pray this evening for your people. Father, there may be someone here this evening that doesn't know you. And if you're here this evening, somebody brought you or you're visiting, but you don't know the Lord and you want to make things right with God, you can do that tonight. For the greatest miracle of all in the Bible is regeneration, when you become born again of the Holy Spirit, as you willingly submit your life to God. By coming in repentance and confession of your sins, then God can accept you. And you can enter fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can become one with him tonight.